This is the Some Motivation Go to Bed Better Than Woke Up podcast. I'm your host, Sammy YB. And if this is your very first time listening to the podcast, I'd like to give you a personal welcome to the show. Thank you for choosing this podcast and for taking the very first step to improve the quality of your life. And especially a big welcome to all the new fans from Mexico, Ukraine, and Bulgaria. Wow, Bulgaria for the win. So this is the Go to Bed Better Than Woke Up podcast. I'm sure you guys have heard me say that many times before, but what is that exactly? Now, let me explain. Going to bed better than you woke up means basically making conscious choices throughout the day and taking actions at the beginning of the day and during the day that make you a better version of yourself than the person who woke up that morning. And that's what this podcast is about. Today's podcast is about wisdom and the top 10 quotes that I and a very dear friend of mine whose mic is on mute right now on Zoom and he's eager to join the show. We'll talk about the top 10 quotes that inspire us to live our life the way we do and to dream bigger, live better, and just enjoy our life overall while being ambitious at the same time. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome to the show a dear guest, a dear friend, a brother, and one of the best, I would say the best host in France, in Paris, who hosted me while I was there, Mohamed Bdrouchi. Mohamed, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sami. Thank you. I'm not sure about the host in France part, but I do appreciate you having me on. I'm happy to be back on the podcast. It's always a thrill to be on, and not least with one of which that focuses on life quotes and how we condition ourselves, you know, both mind and body, to apply certain things to our lives based on those quotes. And hey, if I wasn't tuning into this one, or if I wasn't actually part of it, I'd be listening to it as a proud citizen of Some Motivation. So I've got a bunch of quotes here, and you know, you told me to prepare a few. Otherwise, we'll steer into multiple avenues and start talking about different topics. We want to have this episode be focused and have purpose to it.
Yeah, because when me and Mohamed get to talking, the conversation, like our last conversation with the Zoom call, like everybody else, was 7 or 8 hours from what I remember. Very long call throughout the night, many
give or
different
take,
topics.
Ish.
Pretty much, yeah. So, before we get to the quotes, Mohamed, have you heard let's start with a quote actually about wisdom, which I find to be very interesting. It takes a wise man to learn from his mistakes, but an even wiser man to learn from others' mistakes. So, Mohamed, what do you think about this quote?
I think, you know, the mistakes that we make are often ones that are relatable to us, and we have felt the repercussions of them and the consequences. And so it's easier for us to actually learn from those mistakes. Not all of us do, but it's easier to reflect on the root causes as to why those mistakes were made in the first place and then try to learn from them. But when we're able to actually learn from the mistakes of others and see how, you know, they got themselves to that point and what we can do to avoid reaching that same outcome, that's when we really establishing ourselves that ability to fundamentally, you know, have our lives be focused in a way that doesn't have to end up in a similar outcome to what they had. And I think that's a powerful ability that we can condition our minds and our actions towards.
So it's a great way to complement our own life experiences and what we've learned by adding other people's knowledge and their own life experiences. And what's particularly nice about the quotes we're going to be going through today with Mohamed. So we've basically chosen our top five quotes, top five favorite quotes. And what's very interesting about the quotes is that, you know, they're not just, they could be just a few sentences, but this quote, these quotes are the results of many people's mistakes, life experiences, wisdom, and they've all been synthesized in just a few sentences, which brings enormous value.
I think value is the operative word here. You want to capture the value that you get out of these quotes. And once you're able to understand them and apply them to your own circumstances, situations, your own life, and it will be unique to each and every one of us. It won't be the same what we get out of these quotes. But the value is inherently existing in those quotes. So I think it's really important. I'll start off by one that I think resonates with a lot of us, and I know that you can relate to this yourself, Sami. Mm-hmm. It goes like this, and it's actually by J.C. Penney. It says, "I'm grateful for all of my problems. After each one was overcome, I became stronger and more able to meet those that we still, you know, have to overcome. And I grew in all of my difficulties. Now, what I like about this quote is it really touches on the fact that our ability to draw strength increases in proportion to the obstacles that are imposed on us. But at the same time, it has an element of humility and this acceptance of reality that there will be more difficulties to come in the future, you know, barriers and problems that lie ahead, all of which you'll be stronger in facing up to because of overcoming the predecessing ones. So I'm just keen on seeing what you think of that, Sami.
I really like that quote. And the first thing that comes to mind when you were reading it out loud is the fact that, you know, our ability to deal with life's hardships, adversity, or difficulties is like a muscle. So gradually over time, the more difficulties we face, the more things we overcome, the more confidence that gives us to reach further and further and face even greater difficulties or obstacles in our way. Yeah, that's what I thought about the quote.
It's about being well-informed as well. You know, I think this goes back to the wisdom point you were making about learning from other people's mistakes. The more that we learn about how others have recovered from the mistakes that they've made or what, you know, things that they've done in their lives to actually get them to that point, the more well-informed we are to make decisions in the future. And you never really learn much from hearing yourself speak or going through your own life and being boxed in. It's really when you listen and you take note of what others' lives have encompassed, that's when you really be able to take more well-informed decisions. So I think it's important to do that.
That's very true. And on that point, I've noticed something that, have you ever been in the company of somebody who's much older than yourself? And just being able to soak in that wisdom, that life experience, it gives you an entirely different perspective on what you might be going through. You know, these people are just such huge sources of wisdom, and it's really humbling and to sit with them just for, you know, you end up learning so much from these people just by sitting with them or being around them for about 10-20 minutes even. Like you leave the conversation with a completely different type of energy. You somehow feel like you've grown as a person during that conversation that you had with that person.
And you feed off of their experiences, because oftentimes we are told that, you know, by the sheer virtue of having gone through a lot in their lives and living through more and experiencing more, they're able to reflect and give you a window into what they've experienced and what they've gone through. And I don't think it's, you know, it's true in every instance that, you know, just by the sheer fact that people have lived longer, that they've gone through more, but it's certainly applicable to those who you feel like you're humbled by just listening to, and you feed off of their, feedback and their experiences, and you become very energetic as a result of that. Absolutely.
Like, I definitely feel so much wiser when I spend time with somebody who is, for example, like I was sitting with somebody the other day and I was just explaining some things I was going through, and they gave me their take on things. And I learned later, like they explained to me, they went through the same exact experience. So it's kind of like being able to see yourself in the future using the wisdom that they gave you. Meaning like, you know, if somebody else went through a similar experience and they were able to overcome it, and you can't see yourself overcoming it during that period that you're going through the thing, but then somebody else is able to overcome it, it gives you hope and the idea that, you know, you too, giving yourself time to go through it, can also overcome this difficulty, this hardship.
It's reassuring in a way, isn't it? Because we do sometimes hit points in our life where we plateau, or we steer off path. And we're not quite sure which direction we're heading towards. And I think it's also a smart thing that we take note of how others were able to deal with it, especially if their experiences and what they've gone through is very relatable to what we're facing right now in our own unique way, but also in our own lives. So I think that's a wise thing to do. So it speaks to the wisdom as well of the person. And again, you know, we try to sometimes control everything. I mean, I can speak for myself, Sami, here, but I try to be very possessive when it comes to controlling the path in which I go to in my life, which takes me to another quote, actually, and it goes this way. I can't change the direction the wind is flowing in, But what I can do is adjust my sails to always reach my destination.
That's a really beautiful quote.
And it speaks to the fact that you can't control everything, ultimately. It's wasted energy to worry about those things in life that you have no control over. Instead, focus your energy on the things that you can change, that you can take charge of right now, and let go a little. You know, have faith in the fact that in life, things will work themselves out one way or another.
They will, and the only factor you actually have any control over during that period is not the wind or the direction of the wind. It's your sails, it's your attitude, it's your perception of the situation. It's how you decide, consciously choose to take things and not let circumstances or conditions or people or events take control of how you feel in the current moment. Which brings me actually, Muhammad, to, you know, guys, everybody listening in right now, these quotes, I have no idea what quotes Muhammad wrote down. He has no idea what I wrote down. But somehow the quotes are very similar. I think it's because we're both very similar souls, me and Muhammad. But so let's go back to the following quote that I really like. So recently I've begun exploring Stoicism, which is a school of philosophy, an ancient Greek school of philosophy, founded in Athens thousands of years ago. And based on the definition online, it's a school that taught that virtue, which is the highest good, is based on knowledge and understanding, and that the wise live in harmony with divine reason that governs nature. The wise are indifferent to the difficulties and vicissitudes of fortune and to pleasure and pain. And there's another definition here, which is that Stoicism is the endurance of pain or hardship without the display of feelings and without complaint. So basically choosing your attitude. And in this regard, one of the quotes I really like, which is by the ancient Greek philosopher Seneca: "Nothing to my way of thinking is a better proof of a well-ordered mind than a man's ability to stop just where he is and pass some time in his own company." So the power of just being alone, being by yourself. You know, we live in a world where we're constantly bombarded with information left and right. Notification tones on our phones, WhatsApp messages, Facebook notifications, sounds, TV, advertising. And it's so difficult to just sit by yourself. You know, it's difficult. Like I see it with myself as well. Just sitting down, you know, not doing anything. Sitting down for the sake of sitting down. No, I'd sit down and check my phone. I'd sit down and read a book. It's just very difficult to just sit down without doing anything, without thinking anything. And I think it's also very powerful to be able to be alone. It's actually, you know, it's a rare quality to have, but it's something that many leaders are able to do, which is what differentiates them among the people that they guide. The ability of the leader to sometimes just isolate himself for a given amount of time and find that to be beneficial, as opposed to something that is tasking on his soul or on his time. He finds it to be something necessary and beneficial. What do you think, Muhammad, about the quote?
I couldn't agree more with you. I think there is a negative connotation that's often attached to being alone or spending some me time. We're not saying by any means that that the value of being in the company of others and learning from them, as we've spoken earlier in the podcast, and feeding off their energy and their feedback is not important. It's crucial. But at the same time, we shouldn't devalue the importance of being alone taking that time to reflect and to be with yourself and your thoughts. You know, funny thing, actually, I remember when I was living abroad, I would go into restaurants and sometimes the waiter would look at me and be like, "Table for two?" And I'm like, "No, just the one." And he would give me that kind of look. And I'll be like, "Well, I'm very confident in my own skin and I'm okay with being, you know, with myself. And this is kind of time that I've set aside to actually be with my own thoughts." So
would you explain that to him?
I fully agree with you.
Would you explain it to the waiter, or would you just leave
sometimes,
him?
Sometimes you would take the circumstance on its own and evaluate and see, well, whether it's worth actually explaining that or not. And no matter how much you try to actually like put it into perspective, sometimes people won't really they won't relate. And so you have to also be mindful of that and take things into context. But the Stoic mentality or Stoicism is a healthy one in many respects. And I actually fully agree with you here. It's funny that we didn't take any take a look at any one of our quotes here, by the way. And I don't know what Sami's quotes are. He doesn't know what mine are, but they're very intertwined, like I mentioned earlier. The dissection of the Stoicism mentality. So they actually speak about the reappraisal technique. I can sort of, you know, roughen that up around the edges and remove the jargon. But basically what that means is to regulate emotions and be able to be in control of that, the dichotomy of control. And that makes us at peace with the decisions that we make. And it's a quality that we have in leaders, because we're able to separate, you know, time for ourselves and to be with our own thoughts and also to be with others. We live in a codependent society and we know that. But at the same time, we shouldn't devalue how important it is to be alone sometimes and to reflect.
Very necessary.
Yeah, sometimes as well.
Just a warning for all the listeners, in case you hear some background noise, I'm recording with a Blue Yeti microphone, as Muhammad is. And as you know, these microphones are great. Now, I'm not giving this thing a, you know, I'm not trying to endorse it anyhow, though it deserves an endorsement, but it just picks
we're
up
not getting paid
all
for
types
it though,
of, so. We're not getting paid at all, though we should. It's picking up a lot of background noise. So if in case you hear someone laughing, those are other people in the apartment who are unaware that I'm recording a podcast right now, and I'll make sure they know afterwards. Thank you. And let's go back to the second quote. Seneca, again by Seneca. How does it help to make troubles heavier by bemoaning them? So something I always say is, don't feel bad, you know, by complaining about something that you're going through. The situation is already bad, and you're not really helping yourself or the situation by constantly putting yourself down and whining and complaining about it. So when you complain about something, you can do so for, like what I do when I'm going through a hard time is I give myself a time limit. Okay. I'm going to feel bad. I'm going to feel disappointed. I'm going to feel, I might like call someone up and rant about it or whatever, but I'll do so for about 5-10 minutes. And then later after that, I try to discipline myself and say, okay, it's time to get out of the victim mentality and actually find a solution to this problem. So there's no need to make yourself feel bad when you already feel bad. Instead, try to separate yourself from the problem and find a solution for it. What do you think, Herman?
It sometimes takes stepping back from a problem and being able to see it from an angle that's separated from your emotions. And I understand that, you know, we go through different stages in dealing with situations that come our way. Sometimes we would react to it with raw emotions at first, and those are necessary for us to be able to get to that second stage or what comes afterwards and being able to deal with the problem itself. But I completely agree. I think sometimes we need to separate our emotions. We need to try to take action that is constructive and that is aimed towards solving the problem in the best way that we deem fit and appropriate based on that problem itself. And realize also at the same time that more often than not, and this leads me very well into my third quote, more often than not, a hero's most epic battle is the one that you will never see. It's the battle that goes on within him or herself. And this was said by Kevin Smith, a very famous American filmmaker. And this, by the way, is the toughest battle that you ever fight in your life. It's the battle that comes within. So when you deal with your problems, remember that, yes, you are up against whatever it is, you know, if it's financial problems, if it's, problems with your colleagues, with your friends, with, you know, different aspects of your life that you might be encountering issues with. But conditioning yourself and winning that battle internally is the number one step, and it's the most important step that you take towards solving the problem.
And just to add something, Muhammad, you're totally right. Inner battles can sometimes be, in fact, I actually think this, inner battles are way more difficult than conflicts or battles that you face outside of yourself, be it with a partner, a friend, and a hater, an enemy, a boss, you know, it's so much more difficult. And you're already set up at a disadvantage when you're afraid, when you have an inner battle going on within your own mind, because you have a disadvantage compared to your mind, which is your mind knows every single fear you have, every single insecurity, every single disappointment, every single hope you have. And it will use everything, all of these things against you when you're going through something bad. So it can be very difficult to get yourself through a difficult situation or a mind rut where things just keep on going back to the back and forth to the same point, the same point of pain or frustration or confusion. But just know that you are fully capable of disciplining your mind. In fact, it's necessary for you to do so. And like I said earlier, it's a muscle that over time you learn to, you learn to use over and over again until it begins growing. And then afterwards you can flex and see, I actually overcame this. You can flex it to yourself. You can flex it to other people. But most importantly, you'll know you're flexing to yourself, and you're flexing right in front of the problem that you're currently facing. Now, what David Goggins actually says, and this is a very powerful technique that he uses to get over difficulties that he's facing, and I spoke about him earlier in my podcast on self-efficacy and belief. He says that he has something called a cookie jar, which basically has any time he has some kind of difficulty in his life, he goes into the cookie jar, which basically contains every single success he's faced and every single difficulty he's overcome. And by doing so, he's reminding himself in the midst of all that difficulty, all that turmoil and chaos and disappointment and heartbreak, that, you know what? I am actually more tough than I think I am during this period. Look at all these things that I overcame in my past, and here I am. Here I am despite everything. So this is something that you could use when you're going through something. Now, Muhammad, let's go to your quote, because I think I went a bit above the 5 minute limit on my timer here. So what's your quote?
Well, my quote is actually directly in line with yours. My next one is, at least anyway. Henry Ford says, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right.
I love
either
that
way.
Quote.
It's a state of mind, you know, and you are what you think of yourself as. And oftentimes we box ourselves in without realizing it, instead of allowing ourselves to discover the capabilities that we never knew we had. And so whether you think you can or you can't, in both instances, you're right. I'm keen to see what you think of that, Sammy.
Like, if you tell yourself you can't do something, and this is actually something I learned from a Qatari friend of mine in university. Anytime he'd tell me when we had difficulties writing an assignment, for example, I know this is a very simple and basic parallel, but I'm going to give it anyway, because I think everybody can relate to it. He used to say, like, anytime one of us would be like, you know, it's so difficult to write this, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to start. And then he said, the minute you tell yourself, I can't do something, is the minute you just lost that battle. And it's like you put yourself in a victim mentality where you have no power, you cannot take any action, and your brain just stops functioning completely, and you're unable to find a solution. So Henry Ford was totally right about that. And actually, Muhammad, in line with this quote, I also have one. Only it's not a philanthropist entrepreneur like Henry Ford. And it's actually a more contemporary example. It's actually from 50 Cent. And the quote goes this.
Okay. Yeah. Swear we're not planning this, by the way. We're not planning this. Like, we're just feeding off of each other, but like the quotes are just aligned with one another.
Just
go
this
ahead.
This is just synergy. Me and Muhammad... It's like, you know, we knew of each other a while ago when we were students, but we really began connecting when I started this motivation podcast, and then we began realizing how much we have in common. And right now, it's actually scary stuff just looking at this, because our quotes are so similar, despite us not even discussing the topics that we're going to go through. So this is the quote: "Your opinion of yourself becomes your reality. If you have all these doubts, then no one will believe in you and everything will go wrong. If you think the opposite will happen. It's that simple." Muhammad, what do you think?
simplest example, Sammy. You walk into a girl that you see in the bar. Right?
Okay. I like where this is going.
Or a restaurant. For the ones who are not frequent visitors of those establishments.
Okay.
You walk into a place like a restaurant or any location, and you see someone of the other gender that you're attracted towards, and you try to approach and say hi. But if you're not confident of yourself, and you're not loving and embracing of yourself, and you don't feel like you have that quality that you bring about, that you project onto other people, that makes you worthy of being cherished and loved, that you're not going to actually have that other person project that onto you and write back at you. So it's about having that high opinion of yourself, and not, it's not about being arrogant, but having enough confidence and enough belief in the value of what you bring to the table, and who you are, and having enough of an opinion about yourself to be presentable and be someone who people want to be around. And so oftentimes I get asked, why can't I like really walk up to someone and, be their friend or be, in a relationship with them and et cetera, et cetera. And I oftentimes you'll be surprised of the fact that people don't allow themselves to have other, to be in that state of mind, or even have people think of them as worthy of being loved. So you are the number one inhibitor of creating that reality for you.
You're the deciding factor when it comes to these things. And speaking of approach anxiety, I'll give you an example of a situation I had recently at the beach here in Doha. So as I was swimming, I noticed this very attractive girl, okay? And so in my mind, I'm like, you know what? This girl seems kind of cute. Let me try and approach her. Now, of course, the excuses start kicking in. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. So and in my mind, I'm just like every other guy approaching a girl. You're like, okay, what do I say to this girl? I have no idea what to talk about. You know, you're in the middle of the ocean just swimming. And I just swam up to her, was swimming in the same direction. And she could see that. I could see that she noticed that. And so I said the first thing that came to mind. I said, you know, the water here is really deep. That's the first thing that came to mind. You know what ended up happening? So the girl ignored me, okay? And then I thought she was Russian. She seemed Russian. So I spoke to her in Russian. And again, she ignored me. And then I'm like, okay, you know what? There's no point. And I just went back to my friend. He's like, what happened? Did you talk to her? I'm like, yeah, I talked to her. And he's like, what did you say? I told him, I just told her that the water here is really deep. And he started laughing. You know, he made fun of me for the rest of that day. I'm like, you know what? This is what it comes down to. If the girl found me attractive and she wanted to talk to me, she would have talked to me. If I'd gone up to her and said, banana, 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 she still would have, like, if she found me attractive, wanted to continue the conversation, she would have. But she didn't. So it's fine. It's not really important what you say. I think it goes back to what Muhammad said, which is you need to take the action. You need to believe that, there's a possibility that it might work. And if it doesn't work, that's fine too. There's a lot of fish in the sea. Lame joke considering this
all happened. Something came out of it, by the way.
What?
You had a good joke with your friends. Something came out of it,
Yeah. And now we have something to talk about on the podcast. So I don't know. My friend's like, you could have said this. You could have said that. I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to use a pickup line or say something stupid or random. I'm commenting on something happening in the moment. And regardless of what I said, if she was interested, she would have said something. So that is how that went. Okay, Muhammad, off to you. Next quote.
I swear we're not actually planning this. And the topics in which
Muhammad, did you approach a girl who rejected you? Is that what's going on?
The quote actually doesn't fall in line with that. But if you're asking, did I approach a girl and did she reject me? Of course, yes. All of us have had that happen to us in the past, once or twice. It'd be ingenuine of me to say that hasn't happened. So of course. But again, like you did, I brushed it aside, and I saw the humor in it, and I saw how I can grow from it. Obviously I moved onwards with my life, but sometimes, you know, even the friend that was speaking to you was telling you, you should have used this line. You should have, you know, tried to force the issue this way. We chase perfection all around, don't we, Sammy? You know, we try to manufacture this like perfect moment that sometimes doesn't exist. And so this quote is one I really like, and it's actually my final one, and I think it's fitting of being that. Zoe Sayward says, "Don't wait for the perfect moment. Take the moment and make it perfect." Basically, what that implies is embrace the imperfections that exist in the moment that you're in. Don't try to make it, don't try to expect it to be perfect, or don't try to wait for it to be perfect. Seize it, have it within your grasp, you know? Take that imperfect moment in your stride and make it worthwhile.
Imperfect,
and I think there's a lot of value that comes out of it.
That's what I like about the quote. And that's the point it brought me to, just thinking about it, which is imperfect action is better than no action at all. Because it's very easy when everything is said and done to go back in time and say, oh, I should have done this, or I should have said that. But the person who, you know, deserves to be commended is the person who took the risk and failed, rather than as opposed to the person who is just sitting in the corner and criticizing and, you know, afraid of taking action. It's always better to take a risk, because sometimes just taking that risk, you have no idea who you might meet. We're talking about approaching the new love of your life, a new relationship, a new friend, a new contact. You have no idea who you'll meet one day. So it's always best, not just with this, by the way, whether it's submitting an application to a job where you think, okay, the chances of me getting in are very unlikely, or applying to a graduate program that is very competitive, or starting a podcast where, you know, there's a risk involved that, you know, it might not work out, or releasing an episode where you think people might not listen. It's always better to take imperfect action rather than wait for the circumstances to all be perfect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes many of life's failures actually are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. And that's a direct quote from Edison. But, you know, in the lamest of terms, we take life too seriously sometimes. So never take life too seriously. Nobody gets out alive anyway, right? So all of us here are to learn.
And here's a quote of wisdom from Hamad Bloushi, guys.
Most of it. Yeah, and this is a quote of wisdom that's just off the cuff. But yeah, really, nobody gets out alive anyway.
Fair enough.
I would still say listen to the experts and listen to you know, the great philosophers who've made different quotes. But at the same time, you know, we learn from the mistakes that we make and the actions that we take. And no one person here is perfect, and neither Sammy or I claim to have authority over what decisions should be made at what time. And we are both, by my admission, and I'm sure Sammy would admit the same, mm-hmm. we're both on a journey of learning and self-discovery.
Definitely. So, and, you know, everything we say is based off our own experiences, which are increasing by the day. We're becoming wiser each day, but we're also making a lot of mistakes in the process. And I think that's what makes us human, which is making mistakes, you know, living despite the mistakes that we make, despite the imperfections we have, and despite the mistakes that we make, and becoming better people as a result of that. Acknowledging also that nobody's perfect. And here's our last quote, which is actually, again, nothing is scripted today, but somehow the stars aligned and the universe decided that Sam and Muhammad are going to have an amazing podcast today. So here's the quote right here. From Epictetus, another Greek philosopher. And this is the quote, Muhammad. If anyone tells you that a certain person speaks ill of you, do not make excuses about what is said of you, but answer, he was ignorant of my other faults, else he would have not mentioned these alone. So this goes back to our point earlier, which is be humble. None of us are perfect. Even if a person speaks ill of you or criticizes you or hates on you for no apparent reason, the fact is that none of us are perfect, and that person also has his faults the same way you have your faults. So before you point a finger towards someone, as Confucius said, don't complain about Don't complain about the snow on your neighbor's footstep when there is snow on your own roof, or something like that. Don't quote me on this, but the quote goes something like that. It's
the glass house theory, isn't it, Sammy? It's the glass house theory. If you have a house made of glass, then don't go throwing rocks at people. When someone calls you out for the flaws that you have, oftentimes it speaks more of that person and the faults that that person has than it does of you, because they're ignorant of actually not only the other faults that you have, but also the things that make you stand out and the qualities that you have that they either are not choosing to see or they are being ignorant of because they're trying to just focus on the flaws that you have.
And recently, Muhammad, I began implementing something into my own life, which is before I used to be very quick to judge people or criticize people. But right now I take a step back and try to understand, you know, maybe in that situation, I would have done the same thing. Or I look at something, you know, some things in my life that I'm not too proud about as well. And I realize, you know, people don't always necessarily do things on purpose. They rationalize it, but they don't intend to hurt you or harm you in any way. Sometimes it's just their way of expressing the fear or pain that they've experienced in their life. It's not always directed towards us. And, you know, so something I've learned, which is first impressions, they say first impressions are everything. First impressions can be very deceiving. I can count the amount of times where I have wrongly made an assessment of someone and then realized later on that, you know, that assessment was completely wrong. Like, I thought this person was so-and-so, but turns out, no, they're actually very nice people. And my own judgment of that person was flawed and rushed and not right. So now I've just decided to give people more time before I've created an assessment of what I think they're like.
That's a healthy thing to do. I think that we've all fallen into that trap before, where we've made judgments or assessments on someone without fully understanding where they're coming from. And why they're taking the actions or, you know, behaving in such a way that they do. It takes more listening and understanding of what other people's are going through and what are their backgrounds, what are the certain elements that feed into the way that they are, that makes us all more aware and wiser in dealing with new people in our life. And I'm comfortable. I don't know about yourself, Sami. I'm comfortable with the idea of going to bed better than I woke up. And that's, you know, every single day, if I'm able to do that, I'll be a happy man. And I'll be able to actually feel like I'm making strides in my life and I'm growing.
Like, I've noticed something. Those are also the moments where I'm the happiest, is the moments where I've overcome something or I've realized that, you know, I'm better now than I was in the morning. Like, I actually spent that day doing things where I gain new skills, I learn something new, I interact with different people. Those are the days where I feel the happiest. And the days where I don't make any improvements are the days where I notice my energy is down, I feel lethargic. You know, even the podcast we did today, in the beginning, I was like, you know, I've done a few episodes already with Muhammad and other people, but I haven't done this in such a long time. I wonder what the quality will be like. But towards the end of the podcast, like I said earlier, imperfect action is everything. And I guess it's not a perfect episode, but that was never the aim to begin with, because life is not perfect. Circumstances are not perfect. And occasionally, I think, you know, a lot of people told me that what they like about the podcast is that I'm brutally honest about a lot of things. The background noise, the fact that I'm doing this and I'm learning as I go, and that adds an element of humility and, you know, basically makes the podcast more relatable. It's not clean cut. It's not, there's no Instagram filter for the podcast, if you will. It's just a work in progress.
Imperfection is based on perception, isn't it? Sometimes what constitutes perfect is how we perceive it to be. I'm glad that I've had this imperfect episode with you, Sami.
I don't know how to take that
my
now.
Own way.
Throw everything
I'm
said
not
out
sure
the window.
That's a compliment or not.
Throw everything I said out the window. I don't know how to take that
now. No, I'd be concerned if we actually thought of this episode as being perfect and the ones that we have in the future as perfect, because we can always stand to learn and improve and gain more skills in doing this. And ultimately, the way that we look at the product, the final product, is that, well, A, it's a work in progress. Secondly, It's something that we're proud of and we've enjoyed doing, and hopefully all of the listeners have as well.
Thank you guys for tuning in. And Muhammad, thank you for being my day one supporter. Since I started this podcast, I'd like to publicly acknowledge the contributions you've made to the podcast, not just on the show, but also behind the scenes with everything you helped me out with, not to mention your friendship, which I would actually, I don't know what to call it. The friendship, I feel like, is an understatement, man. Thank you for being my brother and for supporting me throughout this journey and beyond some motivation as well. Thank you, Muhammad.
Always here for you, bro. Pleasure. Always a pleasure to come on the podcast.
And thank you all for tuning into this show. If you'd like to get in touch, feel free to go to somemotivation.com and click contact. I know a lot of you are listening, so please, please take the time to send a message with what you thought about these quotes. What are some of your favorite quotes and what would you like to hear more about? And thank you again, Muhammad. If you'd like to reach out to Muhammad, you can reach him at
Muhammad.al_Belushi. I'm very lame in that sense. I just have my actual first name and last name on social media. So you can reach out to me both on Instagram, Twitter, and also LinkedIn if you're in that space. So thank you for having me on again, Sami.
Thank you, Muhammad. And this was the Motivation Podcast. Remember, always go to bed better than you woke up, and have an amazing day ahead. Thank you, guys.